But right now, we're going to look ahead to a much more positive story, which is the Women's Rugby World Cup and England going in as favourites. The captain, Sarah Hunter, says she's expecting a very physical contest in their World Cup opener against Fiji this weekend. Hunter will be joined by Alex Matthews and 20-year-old flanker Sadia Kabeya in the back row. England favourites for the tournament, as I said, having become the first team to win 25 tests in a row with victory against Wales last month. And despite their fine form, Hunter says the squad is cautious going into Saturday's fixture.
I think we're expecting the unexpected. We've obviously watched some of their footage and they are very typical Fijian rugby players. They're very physical. They love an offload game. They love to go quick. They do things you're not expecting. We just have to focus on ourselves and how we want to play and try and not get caught into this Fijian way of playing.
That is, if it does come off, it's the most amazing rugby union you'll ever watch when Fiji are throwing the ball around. But England will probably try and play as structured a game as possible, as you were hearing there from Sarah Hunter. And good luck to them in this tournament, which could certainly add more luster to women's sport in this country after the amazing performances from the England Lionesses in the European Championships football over the summer. One person who I know will be watching very closely is Ali Donnelly, who's been an unsung hero when it comes to coverage of women's rugby union through the years, being involved in the game as a player, a media manager, a writer, running her own website. She's now put pen to paper and written a book called Scrum Queens, the story of women's rugby. It's got a wonderful foreword by Stephen Jones of the Sunday Times, who knows just what Ali has done in relation to lifting women's rugby in this country and around the world. And I'm delighted to say that she's on the line now. Good evening, Ali.
Hi there. Thanks for that lovely intro.
Not at all. Well, I was just echoing a wonderful foreword you got from Stephen Jones, who anyone who knows their rugby union will know him very well, of course, as the Sunday Times rugby correspondent. He mentioned that in the early 90s, they decided that there was no way that they could stop, you know, ignoring, if you like, the coverage of women's rugby union. But as you detail, there's been an unholy battle to try and get women's rugby to the level it's at today. And of course, there's still so much more potential for the game to grow.
Yeah, I think, look, the last decade has actually really accelerated beyond what you would have imagined even back in 2010 when we last had the Women's Rugby World Cup here. So there's a huge amount of progress in the last kind of 10 years. And we've now got this World Cup in New Zealand where the majority of players have contracts in some form or another, some part-time, some full-time. And that's a phenomenal progress, actually. And, you know, I'm excited about what the next decade looks like, given how much progress we've made since 2010.
You also in the book look at the sort of the rise of not only the international game, but the Premier 15s in this country, what's that's done for the game. And you mentioned the professional contracts. It's just completely different to when you were growing up, though.
Yeah, look, I think there's been a big recognition now that actually women's rugby is the growth part of rugby. So, you know, all the numbers in terms of participation are, you know, the big numbers are coming from the women and girls game. So there's just far more understanding, I think, that actually if you invest in it, eventually, not right now, but, you know, in the medium to long term, you'll get a return on that investment, both in terms of the numbers that we've got and, you know, probably money coming back into the teams. But yeah, you're right to say that it's been a battle. I think for a long, long time, you know, women were shut out of rugby. Again, you know, that's changed massively, but I think it's taken the kind of proof points that, you know, one, this is where the numbers are coming from, and two, we've got in this country, we've got this incredible international team who, you know, are absolutely raging hot favourites to win this World Cup, and the World Cup's coming back here in 2025. So it's a really good time to kind of take stock of progress, I think, as the, you know, the book covers, I think, 130 years. And I'd say most of the progress has come in, you know, the last few. So that's really exciting.
One thing that struck me from your book was that when you were looking at the way things have been charted historically in rugby union, there's so few mentions of the women's pioneers who, you know, if you go back in the history of the game, you always see in the clubs, there's all the names of the captains of the men's teams, and it's hardly ever referred to what has happened with the women's teams. You mentioned the New Zealand team in that respect. When you go on a website for one of the international teams, whether it's you know, New Zealand, Scotland, other teams, you sometimes have to dig pretty deep to find out what's happening in the women's game. And maybe that is because some of the people that are running these teams are actually a little embarrassed about the fact that they weren't promoting the women's game enough earlier on.
Yeah, I think there is a little bit of that. I think there are some countries, so France is a good example, which actually banned women's rugby in the same way that women's football was banned here by the FA a long time ago. So there are definitely some parts of the world who would rather people didn't know or didn't want to remind them of how, you know, how they used to treat the game. But I think there's a general problem in women's sport that so much history is lost. You know, a lot of the games are being run. This is also true of football, of cricket as well. We're being run by volunteers. So you had these governing bodies running sports for men and boys, ultimately. Same was true here in rugby. And so you had these women who were trying to do everything. You're trying to run the game, grow the game, run the leagues. And so, sadly, a lot of history either was not written down, not documented, not recorded. And so we have lost quite a bit. Now, there is a lot of work going on, for, you know, people like me writing books, but other, you know, other people like academics as well, you know, researching the history of women's sport. And we're starting to find out more and more. And I think, you know, in rugby, we're starting to really celebrate the women who did so much. So the four women who ran the first World Cup in 91, you know, remortgaged their houses, you know, brought their babies with them. A few of them had just had children down to Wales. A great, great stories that are starting to come to light now, which is really, really great.
And looking through your book, you come to sort of moments like the Olympics, having women's rugby in the Olympics. Obviously, that is seen as an enormous moment. The World Cup pioneers, you were just talking about, you know, a game changer in London. The fact that we're now seeing these games, particularly for Harlequins, where the women's teams play. I was at the big game that Harlequins host at Twickenham every Christmas, and this time around Harlequins were playing Wasps in the women's game before the men's game, and it was brilliantly attended. It was just an amazing match to watch, and we're going to see more and more of that, I think. And that's the way the Premier 15s are trying to work on things as well, from seemingly, is to have these big matches played in big stadiums.
Yeah, and next year England have announced that they're going to play France at Twickenham as a standalone game. So whenever they've played there in the past, they've always played before or after the men's game. And you know, one of the players describes it as sort of like, you know, the water going down the plug hole. You turn up to the stadium, it's full, and then you kick off and it starts emptying out. So that'll be really interesting to see what kind of crowd they get for that. I mean, I think the way to look at women's rugby in terms of its development at a commercial level is that, you know, men's rugby is kind of like a developed economy. You know, there's growth to come there, but it has a good level of kind of consistent income. People know what it is. They know the product. They know where to find it. And then women's rugby is a kind of developing economy. So it's still finding its feet. You know, people are interested in it, and increasingly the numbers are growing. That Harlequins match you talked about had really good numbers watching. But it's not quite there yet in terms of kind of convincing fans to buy tickets consistently, to, you know, getting investors in on a kind of sustained basis. But we are getting there. And you referenced the Premier 15s. That will be the league for the next decade that, you know, we try and push towards professionalism. But, you know, I think as you referenced in the lead into before I came on, you know, this is a very tough time for rugby. And rugby is a sport which has really struggled through the pandemic financially, and we're sadly seeing that now play out in the men's professional game. So we've got to, you know, the women's game has got to take its time, make sure it's sustainable and actually builds and grows in a way that, you know, allows us to, you know, do it in a sustainable way.
How pleased were you to see the Six Nations not running concurrently, the men's and women's? That was almost standalone, if you like that, you know, that phrase that you used there. And bringing in TikTok as, you know, as on board as well, so that the players feel that they're engaging with their audience much more. It does seem like the women's game, particularly in this country, seems to be taking off.
Absolutely. I think the move, so in the past we had the women's games running concurrently with the men's Six Nations, and inevitably, you know, the Six Nations is a beast of a competition, so the women's games were overshadowed. And, you know, they were ready to kind of fly on their own, and it's really worked. So that window in April is also just great because the weather's better than it is in February. The grounds are harder. They get, you know, there's a lot of opportunity to play kind of fast running rugby, which I think is really appealing to people. And TikTok coming in, yeah, I mean, I think I'm too old for TikTok, but I think not only has it helped the players to kind of create content and engage on that platform, it's definitely made the sport look much more attractive to others. And I think it's probably a springboard off which we'll see more brands come in and say, actually, this is a sport where I can get great content. I mean, the women who play, you know, they're great role models, great ambassadors. They are strong, physical women who, you know, are at the top of their game. So I think they're just such a great asset for a brand like that.
And for people who don't know, you've run the website Scrum Queens for many years, and for a lot of the time just doing it as a labour of love, and, you know, covering the women's game and giving it that platform. This book is kind of following on from that, which is great to see. But what has it been like as a journey to, I mean, I'm sure there's been so many times where there have been setbacks and people not giving you, you know, the encouragement or the respect that you would have wanted. And you've just had to, I imagine, just be very, very, you know, hard-nosed and determined.
Yeah, I mean, look, I've always really believed in the power of the kind of stories behind everybody involved in the women's game. And I've just always wanted to tell their story. And when Scrum Queen started in 2009, there really weren't very many people writing about the women's game, certainly not consistently. Now, that has changed as well. So as a website, I mean, I do it in my free time with a couple of other volunteers. And as it's grown, I think our authority has grown and our kind of, you know, we know the game very well. We've been writing about it for a very long time. But what's really brilliant to see is there are now a cohort of journalists, media, broadcasters, you know, social influencers and so on, who are working, getting paid to work to create that content in women's rugby. And I just think that's brilliant. And, you know, eventually there'll be no need for me to, you know, to continue writing consistently, because it will just be happening anyway. But I think once you fall in love with a sport, which, you know, I played women's rugby for a long time, and you see what people have done to grow it, and often at, you know, great personal cost, no recognition, and you have the ability to help amplify and tell that story, then you should. And so that's what the book is about, and that's what the website is about. But, you know, slowly but surely, people far better than I are coming in to do that job, and that's brilliant to see.
I can't believe that. But what I will ask you is, do you think England will win it, given their amazing run they're on?
Yeah, I it's very hard to see England not winning the World Cup this time. I think they're always amongst the favourites, but, you know, they've played in the last five finals and won just one. New Zealand always seems to, you know, turn up for the World Cups. But this time, England have been professional for 4 years. New Zealand have only done that this year. And I think they've just stolen a march on all the other teams. And if they don't win it, it will take an incredible performance from someone. But I can't see past them.
Ali, it's great to talk to you, and congratulations on the book, Scrum Queens, the story of women's rugby from Pitch Publishing. Brilliant work to get this story on paper. I can't imagine how long it would have taken, but it's a really great reflection on all the work you've put in over the years.
Thank you so much.
Not at all. Ali Donnelly speaking to us there with regard to the Women's Rugby World Cup, but also about her book detailing the rise of women's rugby in this country and around the world. It's called Scrum Queens. It is out now.